You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. Joins us once again, Woodley. How you doing, man?
Lifelong Mariners fan as well here. So you almost lost me in terms of being available for this segment. If you say the word Vladimir Guerrero one more time, I might end up in the fetal position in the corner because he's absolutely raking in this series. He's killing me. Oh. I had the pleasure. Fortunately, like, I picked my spots. I wasn't able to get tickets for 3 or 4. And obviously, you know how that turned out. But I was there for Game 5.
I saw that.
So I got to witness, like, that's the biggest, like, people forget. Being a Mariners fan, and I grew up playing ball in Washington State, so that's why where the roots of this are.
Okay.
I also basically quit school, drove to every major league ballpark in 95 after the lockout, and that's how I got into sports writing. I was actually 3 exams into actuarial studies. And then, so there's a long story there, Jason. Like, I am a baseball guy.
Okay.
Being a Mariners fan is like you're just waiting for Lucy to pull that football away from Charlie Brown. Like, so getting there on Friday night and getting to see that grand slam in person, like, that's the biggest moment in franchise history to date for a team that's never even been to the World Series. So I'm a big fan of a lot of the guys on the Jays. I love Guerrero, what Yesavage did last night, getting out of that bases loaded. Like, it's great. I get it. But for me, I got to stick with the team I grew up supporting. Well, so this is a little nerve wracking tonight.
Well, buddy, I would be ashamed of you if you didn't. If you suddenly were like, well, you know what, I'm living in no, cheer for the team you cheer for. I totally respect it. That's great. And as much as Vladdy's raking you, don't sleep on Ernie Clement, buddy. There's nobody starts a rally better than Ernie Clement for the Jays.
Well, let's be honest. Like, one of the biggest differences in this series is 7-9, the bottom of the order. And that was, to be honest, even with the bases juiced, my biggest surprise about them giving, you know, anything to hit to Gino Suarez in that eighth inning, because 7, 8, and 9 have just been automatic out. So, anyways, that grand slam moment. I put it on my Twitter. It was just. The vibes were immaculate. Let's see if we can bring a little bit to the Mariners tonight.
Well, it should be a good game tonight for sure. Let's get to a few things. The Edmonton Oilers, their puck management isn't great. They can't score to save their life early on the season. The Ottawa Senators right now are giving up the most goals in the NHL. Well, that's tied with the Sharks. But you know what? I look at it, and they're not giving up a ton of shots, Kevin. Now, maybe you have the numbers on. Are they giving up a massive amount of high-danger chances? How much of this is systemic, and how much of it is goaltending in Ottawa?
A little bit of both. I would say it's mostly systemic. They are defensively one of the worst teams in the National Hockey League. It may not be on volume, Jason, but on quality, 5-on-5 expected goals against, they're 28th in the National Hockey League. Rush chances, they're 26. Like, they're and that's high danger. They are bleeding high danger chances off the rush. We've talked about this so many times, like, giving away the easy goals. You can't win doing that. And that's what they're doing right now. Their PK is 23rd. But the biggest thing is, like, when you're bottom five, bottom six in the entire league in terms of giving up high danger chances off the rush, there's only so much your goaltenders can do, right? Like, I go back to that Robin Lehner story, right? When he talked about when he was in Buffalo, he's like, we give up 3 or 4 odd man rushes a night. Even if I'm on my game, 1 or 2 are going in. He goes to the Islanders. He's like, we give up 3 odd man rushes every like 4 games total. Obviously, my numbers are going to be a lot better. And so there's an element of that with the Ottawa Senators. At the same time, the goaltending also hasn't been good enough. I mean, Linus Ullmark has an 875 expected. So that tells you how tough the environment has been. He's underperforming it, you know, by 3.2%, which is like 46 out of 62 goalies in the league. And Levi Mirilainen, who was so good for them last year, obviously, I think he still qualifies as a rookie. I don't think he even played enough games last year to sort of get past his rookie status. Only one game, but obviously a brutal start for him. I mean, he had an expected of 8.24 in that game. So again, there's your environment. Brutal. But he underperformed at a level that, frankly, at this point in the season, only Peter Mrazek's been worse.
Kevin, Anthony Stolarz talked about, you know, his frustration with the Leafs and getting run. You know, Stuart Skinner against Detroit got bumped into last year. I don't think there was a goalie that got ran into more than him. Like, what are your thoughts on a goalie, you know, calling out his team, and kind of what does it say when a goalie feels like he's not getting the response from his teammates that he's hoping? What does that do to a goalie's psyche?
Well, I mean, so there's two parts to this, right? Like, I think Stoller's calling out his teammates. Like, it wasn't specifically just that, right? Like, it was overall play as well as a team and where they're at this point in the season and what their ambitions are and how much they'll need to be better to get to that level. But in terms of getting run, like, yeah, listen, like, I followed the Luongo era here, right? They put a C. You couldn't put it on his chest, so he painted it on his mask. They made him the captain. Like, anytime the goalie is talking about what's happening in front of him, it's a tough look, right? Because you're sort of calling guys out in a position that is always under the spotlight, where every mistake you make ends up in the back of the net. So it's a tough thing to do. You have to understand the dynamics of your own room, and you'd know better than any of us, Sean. Like, there are probably rooms where you can get away with that and probably rooms where you can't. I think most guys would probably prefer that it's handled within the room. In terms of getting run, though, man, like, are we not seeing more of this? Maybe my goalie union card has me being a little more sensitive to it. But the amount of times we're seeing guys just bring pucks to the net and come right through the blue and make contact. Like, there was even a goal where if I was Calgary, I would have challenged. It was actually a breakaway off the wing, got behind the defense. I think it was Eichel, where he actually goes to put the puck around Wolf. Wolf gets his pad above the goal line and he pushes the puck and the pad into the net. I would have challenged that. And based on some of the challenges we've seen, like, it's just the reckless abandon with which guys are going to the net. And that's what they're told. That's what they're taught. But man, our masks are designed to deflect pucks, not stop impacts. And so at a time where we've already seen, you know, teams short on goaltending and calling up guys from the minors because of injuries, I'm a little worried about how many of them are taking that kind of contact early on.
Yeah, I can see why he's fired up about it. Probably not the I don't mind every now and then, but unless I assume when you go public, you've said it privately first. If you don't say it privately first, Brownie, that's probably when your teammates are going to get a little fired up for you. Kev, we had a lot of people texting. What did you make of the third Detroit goal yesterday?
It's funny. I looked this one up because I was curious as to how it would get classified because of the screen nature of it. And it ended up being a high danger chance. So, which goes to see what the sight goes to show you how hard those sight lines were for him.
Okay.
I'd probably be a little more critical, but I think there was a mix of mental and physical errors involved, right? So, the mental error is as soon as that puck climbs the wall, as soon as you're out of a dead angle, like that puck comes into the corner with Larkin. So you go into what we call a reverse VH, which I think by this point, most people know what it is, right? If you have picture Skinner going into that left post with his left pad along the ice and the right pad sort of up slightly, knee raised at that edge in the ice to sort of hold that short side. It's a dead angle technique. But as soon as Larkin climbs the wall, you want to get out of it. Now, the challenge here is that his defenseman Ekholm does nothing in terms of helping him find a sight line. He basically screens him on the short side. He doesn't move the body in front and he's just stationary. And so if you're Skinner, the risk is, okay, I can find that puck on the wall more easily if I get back to my feet and give myself a chance to sort of switch sides with my head around Ekholm's shoulder and find sight line. The risk is, as soon as you get up, you're susceptible to exactly what happened. So his decision to stay down, I actually, think of it as insurance, like that's a safe insurance move. You're not going to get beat along the ice if you stay down. It makes sense. A lot of coaches, as soon as that puck starts climbing the wall, they want you up. They want you back to your feet. And if he gets up earlier, maybe he finds sight line and he can get back to the ice. But there's a hesitation there, right? So now Larkin's got his head up. He throws one at the net. I'm not sure if you guys saw this, but to me, this is where the physical part comes in. If he just stays down there and hits his left pad, goes back into the corner.
Yeah.
Even if Detroit grabs it, we start again, right? We start off the cycle again. If you noticed, he slipped against the post. His pad comes off the post and slips into the net. And to me, that's a physical mistake. That's an execution error. That's something where I'd even almost want to look and be like, hey, like, how are we doing our toe ties up here? Do we have enough of a gap between the bottom of our pad and the skate of our pad to keep that seal tight and not have that slippage? Because it really shouldn't happen unless he sort of tried to get up and got caught in between and there you're into that tough decision-making process. That shouldn't happen. And so once he slips into the net, I think that's why he got up, is because he had slipped and he felt he'd lost that short side coverage. And it's just a case of terrible timing because the puck's already en route and it looks horrible. But I think so to me, it's, do you get up earlier and find the puck? And if not, you have to be able to hold that tech. You have to be able to hold that technique, hold that short side, hold that pad along the ice. For whatever reason, he wasn't able to. And that's where, you know, all those snowballs I just talked about, they piled into one big one and caused a goal that, you know, at the time of the game was and just the nature of it, the way it looks, kind of a backbreaker.
I'm glad you broke that down, because I was watching it and Sportsnet had a great view behind the camera and the net there. And I felt the exact same way. I know nothing about goaltending, but it did seem like to me he did, you know, miss his push. And it was kind of odd that his pad was so far into the net there. But overall, like, you know, what do you think of his game? You know, he's got, it's, you know, it hasn't been a lot of games, obviously, with a new goalie coach. And, you know, everyone's talked about him losing weight and it's a different season. What have you seen, and how do you feel? How would you evaluate him right now?
It's funny, because I said, it was good, eh, Jason? We said this last week, right before the shutout game, that I liked it. Like, I didn't mind his game at all. His numbers are just a hair above expected. So, you know, at a time right now, there's a few more goalies than when we talked last week. There's only 30 goalies in the league that are outperforming their environment, and he's one of them, right? So is he near the top of that list right now? No. But he's outperforming his environment. He's better than expected. When I look at how he's performing from an eye test standpoint, like, you're basically talking about that mistake, whether and they'll have broken this down, whether it's a mental mistake of not getting up sooner or the physical mistake of losing that control against the post. It's the mistake on the goal against Calgary, the Coleman goal, like the decision to make it. Like, these are little sort of hiccups mentally that are costing him. But when I look at his game in totality, it looks balanced. It looks neutral. He's giving himself a chance on a lot of plays. We are not seeing him off balance and pitched forward as much as we were before. And to me, those are all positives from an eye test standpoint. The performance is good. Like I said, it's not top of the league, but it's not bad at all. Like, it's what you expect, and there's a little more to go. And actually, if you eliminate those two sort of, again, like brain cramp, I hesitate on the second one. For sure, the first one was a brain cramp. It's those moments that are costing him both statistically, because take those away and he's into the top 15 in the league, right? So it's those little details. But overall, as I said last week, I kind of like where his game is at. It just looks cleaner than it has in the past. And he's giving himself a chance to make saves. He's not taking himself out of plays off the rush with excessive depth. He's not scrambling around his crease. And part of that is the Oilers with a good defensive environment. Don't put him in a position to. But I just like that even when he's in recovery situations on his knees, there's a lot less swinging back and forth. It's just push and go and stop. And there's a good control element to it. I also think his butterfly looks a little wider. Like, I don't know if that's a biomechanical thing. I don't know if that's work he's done in the summer. I don't know if that's the pads or maybe the weight loss. But he looks like he's got a little more flair to his butterfly, which is allowing him to make those side-to-side pushes from his knees without having as many wild swings with the upper body, staying in one piece as he goes east-west. All of those are positives. And when you look at that, I think more of the results would follow. And like I said, outside of the two little brain cramps, the results have been really good.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, I know you. I asked you to track, because we talk a lot about the goaltenders' numbers, which is valid, but also I was talking about the Oilers in the offensive zone, and they're like, oh, you know, they got some of the highest offensive zone possession time in the league, and, you know, all these other numbers. I'm like, yeah, but it's not leading to any goals. And now, I think their puck management, especially against Detroit, was ridiculously bad. They missed passes all over the ice, but, like, offensive zone possession time is great, but if it's not leading to a lot of really high danger chances, and I know, because you gave me some numbers on, you know, the difference of when you have a screen or a layered screen. And if you have a shot from outside the slot, you got like a 1.3% chance of scoring. You have a defensive screen, it goes up to 10.5. You got a layered screen, now it's up to 13.5. Like, that's a significant difference, right? That's basically 12 more goals out of every 100 shots when you've got that. Edmonton, now Noah Philp has a deflection goal. Great, it worked. But what numbers have you uncovered to the Oilers' offensive zone that have led to their offensive woes?
Okay, so one quick one on the layered screens. As it goes up to 13.5% if it's a layered screen, which is great. If you've got a guy at the point, we see this a lot, where we saw this a lot with Tocchet and Hughes here in Vancouver. If you've got a guy at the point that can find those seams and get pucks to the net and hit the top corner on either side of a layered screen, I'll just filter the puck into the top corner, it goes up to over 40%. That play goes in more often than a breakaway in the National Hockey League over the past three seasons. So there's value to screens. There's value to having guys net front. Right now, first off, the Oilers haven't won a single high danger chance match in this road trip.
Yeah.
I mean, they killed Calgary in it. They killed Vancouver in it. They out expected gold. The Islanders slightly, but high dangers, it was 8-6. Detroit last night, expected goals, high danger. They lost that battle. Same with New Jersey, and obviously in the Rangers game. So they're not creating enough overall. In terms of net front offense, other than doing it geographically, just looking at the types of chance we typically associate with that. So screens, offense overall, in terms of expected goals, chances created, 18th in the National Hockey League. Rebound chances back on net. So it's one thing to generate a rebound. It's another thing to be able to get to that puck and create a second chance, and that requires getting it on net. Dead last in the National Hockey League. Less than half a goal expected per game. There are teams like Colorado, and Colorado's a skilled team. I think we think of them in a similar light as the Edmonton Oilers, are generating are at 3.6 already. So deflection chances, 12th, not bad. Broken plays. So pucks that go off legs and bounce to another guy, you're in the right position to win that battle in the front of the net after it hits a butt or a leg or a stick, 23rd in the National Hockey League. So overall, their offensive profile is uncharacteristically down for this year. Their net front ozone, the types of chances you create in right in around and directly in front of the net, they're 29th in the National Hockey League. And overall, like expected goals for 5-on-5, 27th and 28th off the rush. So they're not generating anything sort of in how we think of them as an offensive profile team in terms of rush chances. They're 28th. Net front, you know, they're 29th. None of these add up to positive results. And we're sort of seeing it ever since those first two home games, especially on this road trip, where they're sort of losing the expected goal and high danger, you know, battles on a nightly basis.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the numbers because it matches exactly what I felt. This team is not generating enough. The you know, dead last and generating rebounds on goal. I like that. So there's a rebound there. But if you get the rebound chance, but you don't get a shot on goal from it, it doesn't really do you much that you created a rebound chance. You got to get a rebound that leads to you getting a shot on goal, because I know you've talked about that, you know, anytime you get the the goalie moving off of a rebound, your chances of scoring increase.
Oh, that's, I mean, that used to be like the bread and butter, like that power play, right? Yeah. Like that. Create a scramble, create a broken play, know exactly where Leon is, who hits the net from a dead angle at an unprecedented rate, and just funnel it to him. Yeah. Pass off a rebound is a 65% chance, and nobody did it better in the National Hockey League than the Oilers when they were up a man. So we haven't seen as much of it. Like, listen, let's be honest, though. Like, these are all categories, as we discussed them, that Zach Hyman is elite at.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when you lose a guy like that, and there's, like, screens. To me, screens are really interesting. Because it's not just about going to the net. It's about going to the net with a purpose. And that doesn't mean just determination to win a battle to stay there, because it's not as hard as it used to be, right? Like, you aren't basically getting the other guy's wooden stick tattooed into your lower spine like you used to. I'm not pretending it's easy, but it's not as hard as it used to be. It's more strategical. Like, it's about knowing what lane the other team's trying to take away and making sure that you're managing your screens to force the goaltender to move out of the lane he's supposed to be in by the system. There was the first goal on Lucas Dostal this season, and it just jumped out as a perfect example. And the type of complexity we're seeing teams run screens with that I'm not seeing from the Oilers minus Hyman. Screen is in the middle lane. Dostal takes short side eyes. That's your typical setup for most teams defensively. More bodies in the middle. Goalie takes the short side because that's how the puck gets into the net faster. Typically, if it's going to go far side, you have more time to react across the screen as a goaltender, and there's more chance it's going to hit somebody because of all those bodies. The screen in front of Dostal moves to the short side, forcing him to change his eyes. As he does, they shoot. Now, as a goalie, I know what they're thinking because we do these breakdowns every week. The goalie's like, okay, the screener's moving to the short side. I got to get eyes on this. I got to relocate my sight line. But I don't have to worry about the puck going in short side anymore because his guy's in that lane. He's not going to hit his guy. it was almost perfect. As soon as the shot's on the way, that guy goes from short side. He basically pulls himself out of the way right to the post and vacates exactly where his defenseman shot the puck. The complexity with which teams are utilizing traffic in the NHL today is off the charts. It's the hardest thing for goalies to defend right now, especially young goalies in the league, to figure it out at this level when you see these plays being run like this. And we just aren't seeing enough of it from the Oilers so far this season. But like I said, like Zach Hyman, I talk to goalies around the league. Like, he is a guy that they isolate and talk about how well he manages their eyes when he's in front of the net. And that's something that I do think it's a lot harder to replace than people might realize.
Kev, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you. Enjoy the game tonight.
I will. Go Amps.
There you go.